Welcome to Warn Radio, with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings, everybody, on this Friday, the beginning of a weekend and Shabbat. Nevertheless, even if you don't celebrate Shabbat, it's still the weekend. But up here, it is cold. It has been colder this last week. Just like that, summer went, and we're into fall, and then all of a sudden we wound up in November. And of course, I do this every year. We're going to be through November and December before you know it. And then, of course, January is a little long, February is short, and then March, by the time we get to March, April, we're looking at spring, and winter's over. So there you have it. Winter's already over. You just don't know it yet. Well, this is Warn Radio Sound, the Shofar. I'm the Watchman, and I do these shows pretty much on a Friday morning. Now, this show, Sound the Shofar, along with all of our other shows, are in-depth. They're not call-in shows. And so if you need to contact us, go to our websites at warn-usa.com. And get on the contact page, and if it's important, that's where you send us messages. That's where people go. That's what we require. And, of course, when it comes to our social media, there's a lot of people that try to send me various things, and some of them I manage to look at it. But, we don't have social media, so I can just keep redoing your stuff and sending it out. I just don't have that kind of time. And, this pretty much, if it's up on our websites and written, or if it's in graphics, I'm the guy that's done it by the help of the Lord God. A long time ago when I began this, I had others that would say that they would do the websites as a ministry to the Lord. Well, they never showed up. And if they did, they began it, but they never finished it. So I learned to do it myself in order to get it up. And so all these years later, we have a system to do it all, and we thank the Lord for being able to get it done. But, boy, I tell you, learning how to do it was something. But that's beside the point. Today we're going to be in Revelation. You can find us, by the way, on a couple of our new sites, MeWe and USA.life. And USA.life, we have a group on it. We have a group on MeWe. Now, know this, that some of these groups, like MeWe, really do reach around the world. We get people from around the world on it. And, of course, there are predators that show up, and it's all the usual predators. And you don't know they're predators, but if you show up and begin to start telling everybody that you have funds that you want people to help you with and all this other stuff, that's a con that goes way back. That's the first thing you look for in the old days, was stuff like that, because this was, we're here to tell you that you just won $1 million. Well, see, we don't put up with that. Our group chats are strictly for the Lord. They're strictly to take care of what we do, and that is allow people to be able to put things down, and then when I see them, I can answer them. But I do not sit there and chat hours on end. There's no way I would do that. No way I can do it. My days go fast enough. I just don't do that. So on social media, no, we're not going to spend. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking and doing a lot of stuff. And I will put a comment down on something, like I did on Instagram the other day. I think it was Instagram. And no, it was Facebook. And I have put them on Instagram, but it's just like you're asking for trouble. I mean, you know, no matter what it is, you've got people showing up out of the woodwork to call you names and do everything. I don't even bother with it. You know, I'm not a comment leaver unless it's something good or a point I need to make, like I did the other day. And it stirred the waters good. And, of course, we had some people that agreed. And, you know, but that's the way it happens. And so we don't. Social media is a place for you to be able to find the shows and the resources that we have. They're not a place for me to spend endless hours. I don't have time to spend endless hours on social media. Now, I will spend some time on Twitter. I don't like Twitter, Facebook. Instagram I like a little more than the others. LinkedIn, it's okay. But the new one, USA.life, is the one I recommend you check out. And MeWe, you know, that's just something I put up because MeWe and USA.life are both pretty much secure. That's one of the things they do, and they protect all your information. They don't share it with anybody, and they try to keep it good. Now, there is also another one like that. That's Telegram. And so at any rate, you can find us, my handle, WatchmanIS216 on Twitter and Facebook. Our handle, Warren Radio on Instagram and Twitter. Watchman on LinkedIn. And, oh, by the way, we've added a few more networks to listen to everything. And, you know, that's, it's amazing how many networks you can actually put together. And and go from there. And I don't know if I can find my Duma flopper or not on it. It's hard to say. I mean, you got to keep so much stuff going that it's just really... Well, it don't look like I don't have it. Well, maybe that's it. Yeah, there it is. We've added Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcasts, and we're waiting for Deezer. And of course, we do have it sent out in various other places that have automatic. So, you know, you're going to find us around. Spreaker, Spotify, Apple, iHeart, Blog Talk, all of these. Blog Talk Radio, you know, they've been having some issues. And so I think it's just because they're so popular. But, you know, we do like Spreaker. And and a lot of the sources that it does. But... you can go to our websites at warren-usa, danaglennsmith.com, and find a lot of stuff there. And if you want an audio, you'd be best to download it, because I, in the old days, I would keep, clear back to 2007, 2006. I don't do that anymore. You know, we move on with all of our teachings and everything. I update the teachings every couple of years. I have a rotating cycle of teachings, and the old ones get brought down and new ones get put up. So if you want to download them, you have. Now, we do have a vast archive of older teachings off continent, as I put it, and I don't know how long we'll keep those, but at any rate, we are hard-pressed to try to keep summer around here. We are in the winter here. And, of course, that's what we do here. When it gets November, it's going to get cold. It's going to get snowy. But the summer, it just zipped by so fast because we do so much. If we're not up in the mountains, we're in the garden. If we're not in the garden, we're here online and taking care of everything. So we hope and pray that everything in your world is doing all right. Everybody's busy today, not just me. Everybody's busy. Everybody is trying to be online, and I would be willing to say that a lot of people are really fed up with the divisiveness and hatred we have online, and just absolutely unconscionable. And what they're doing to President Trump, I think it's immoral, and I think that's clear from all the testimonies coming out and the fact that the Democrats have pulled this shenanigan, continue to do it. But, you know, the Lord rewards people for what they do, and he's the ultimate judge here. I guarantee you, the fog will clear. It will clear. And so, at any rate, let us get into this. And we are, today, it's called Balaam the Nicolaitans at Pergamos. This is message to the seven churches. This is part four. And of course, when we talk about Balaam and the Nicolaitans, you can put it simple. Fleshly, carnal, secular, fornication, greed, temptation, sinful. I mean, you know, a lot of people try to put, oh, you know, it's this, and this, you know, and we talk about food, eat, and idols. Well, most Americans don't give one hang about food, eat, and idols. Now, I do have a story about this. Many years ago, there was a Chinese restaurant in town. Nothing against the Chinese. But in that restaurant, and we would go there for their buffets. Now, I don't do buffets anymore, and I very rarely go to restaurants. Simply put, we can make a lot better things here. And better food, because the stuff we eat are organic and a lot of other specialty things. So we don't get into this food trough stuff that most Americans do. And I recommend, if you want to live longer, that you probably need to think about going to the restaurants and eating burgers every week, especially when you get into a lot of the protein. And I could do shows just on food. But anyway, let me get back to the story. We were in this Chinese restaurant. It was pretty good, and we would eat in that. And one day I looked up, and I saw that idol. We would pass by it, and I, as an American, I never paid much attention to it. And they had just taken it over, and we had already went in and paid before I got around the corner to see it. Well, we ate there, but I never went back because of the idol Buddha sitting at the head of the buffet line. And most Americans didn't care as long as they got it. Well, the restaurant eventually was shut down because of health issues. And I had a driver from one of the local food companies, because I was working at the time for a nonprofit that helped the seniors, and I was taking care of the kitchen. He came in and told me how dirty the place was because he delivered food every week there. So that's another reason we never really went back. But at any rate, you know, the reason I did stop, though, is because of the Buddha sitting at the head. I wasn't going to sit there and eat food while the people in the establishment gave credit to Buddha. Now, in America, they have a right to do that. I have no problem with that. I wasn't mad at them. But I'm not going to eat at a table, and I don't care whether it's Buddha or something else. I'm not going to do it. Now, see, I remember when we were, where was it, Ohio, Iowa, and we went to an apple orchard, and they were selling apples outside. And it was a Muslim family who was real nice. And we talked about a lot of stuff and actually got along pretty good. And so we bought some of the stuff and left. But, you know, he didn't have the Quran sitting on everything and all the rest of the stuff. And in this case, there was no idol, stone idol, sitting there. So at any rate, it's just half of one, three dozen of another, as far as your personal preference. But as believers and Christians, we need to pay attention to what we're doing. And in John's letter, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos, these things saith he which has the sharp sword. And I find it kind of interesting when I look at these things. You know, when the Lord wrote these letters, I mean, living in America, we look at them and think, well, you know, that was then, this is now. But see, the thing of it is, a lot of this stuff that we deal with is the fact that the Lord just didn't put it there for you to ignore. Now, Pergamos comes from a Greek word which means fortified. So what were they fortified in? Well, this is the one where the Lord says quite a few things. We'll get into that. But remember, fortified. And the two things you find out here is Balaam and, of course, we talk about the Nicolaitans. And, of course, looking at this, Revelation 2, 12 through 17, you'll find this. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges. Now, I always point out at the beginning of all these, the Lord gives you names, graphic descriptions. I am the Alpha and Omega. In other words, he is in John, in Revelation, the first chapter, he says he's the Almighty. You need to take heed. In Revelation 2, one of the last things it says in that psalm is, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. There's a lot of language in scriptures that has a point to it. You know, it's just like we have a warning, especially around here, because we get a lot of ice on our lakes and rivers. You know, don't tread on thin ice. A lot of times we use that term, even in the business world or in relationships, when someone's aggravating you or you're aggravating someone else, be careful. Because you may break through the boss's grace towards you and wind up fired or written up. If you're walking on thin ice, be careful, you might fall through. Well, as in the case of, for instance, Bear Grylls, the survivalist, I watched him one day illustrate why you don't walk on thin ice. And he had all of his clothes on. Of course, he had prepared ahead of time with a camera crew. But they knew it was thin ice, and he had all the stuff ready to make a fire. And he had it on his person, but he had it in a waterproof thing, which he always carried. And he fell through the thin ice, pulled himself out, which was really tough, and had to run on over, took off all of his clothes. This is their snow. It's way below zero, and he's sitting there butt naked. Of course, you didn't see anything. But that, if you've ever seen Bear Grylls, he illustrates everything. He lit the fire and proceeded to warm up, and telling you why he did that, because you'll freeze to death. So it's interesting when we think about treading thin ice. In the same aspect, when you're dealing with Balaam and you're dealing with the Nicolaitans, well, there's no harm in it. They're not doing anything. They're just doing that. Well, they're influencing the people there. And see, when we're talking about the angel of the church in Pergamos, just like there was the prince of Persia, which happens to be a high-ranking principality over Persia at the time. There are also angels to churches, and there's also ministers. Now, some people that interpret this as being the minister. I don't. I believe this is a literal angel of the church in Pergamos, taking care, watching over the church. Now, the church is not a building here, although it could be. Today, that's what we think of. But see, in America, we talk about, I'm from the church in Denver. Yeah, good luck there. How many you got? Well, I'm with, for instance, the Catholic Church or the Assembly of God or the Presbyterians. Well, which one of those are you? See, we've got multiple denominations, myriad denominations, even non-denominational churches, and we got tons of them. Well, at this time of the writing, there were believers in Pergamos, and that was the church. And I've pointed that out many, many times. As the Lord said, the kingdom of God is within you. He points out and says that where two or more of you are gathered, there am I in the midst. That's church, okay, as we call it today. When we get together as believers, the Spirit of God is on the inside of us. We're born again. We know Him. We pray to Him. We seek Him. And when we come together, He's in the midst of us. Now, if we happen to be in the building, He's in the midst of us, even in the building. If we're by a stream, He's in the midst of us by a stream, under a tree, out in the desert, wherever we're gathering, in a mall. I remember there was a bunch of us in Walmart one time. Tower and I were in there praying for people. Yes, in Walmart. I think this was in the potato chip section. Either that or the cookie section. It was over there somewhere. And we had someone come in that needed prayer, and we were praying right there. And this person willingly accepted it because it was pretty bad. And she later told us that prayer was God sent because she was helped and delivered. She personally thanked us. So the bottom line of it is, I mean, all of our family prays for one another. You know, if one of us have something, we ask the others to pray for us. We do that all the time. Even when my children were small, it was always that way. We believe God answers prayer. So these people were all gathered in Pergamos. And see, the church, he says, I know your works, where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Now, Antipas, you know, a lot of people look at this, and, you know, this was one of the martyrs that stood out just like we look at a lot of the martyrs of old and the martyrs among the apostles. But he said, I know where you are. I know even where Satan's seat is, which was locally there. And, of course, from the fact that we have Balaam here and Nicolaitans, it was full of idolatry and fornication. Now, see, understand this. In the Roman Empire, and even today, you know, people, when they get together, start drinking and eating foods in a party, it's not uncommon for them to start fornicating. And, of course, if you have any remembrance of the 60s, I came out of the 60s, and I know very well what these people will do. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that within all of this, this does not make it okay. You know, back in our day, if you were going to a kegger, which was popular, it was also a place where you could get in trouble and get in fights, which, you know, happens. Because when people get drunk, they want to fight, some of them. Well, I remember the highway patrol stopping us. We were just driving. But see, they're... As kids, we didn't look ahead and see how many others were going in the same direction. So he pulled us over and he says, I know where you kids are going. And he said, there's a kegger over here. And he says, as long as you go to that kegger and you stay there and don't drive, you're going to be all right. But the minute you leave, if I see you, I'm going to pick you up, get you for drunk driving. Driving while under influence. But he knew where it was, because that's where all the kids were. In those days, you know, these cops would keep an eye on it, let them have a little fun, but in the same token, they were right there. And of course, today, I don't know what they would do, but I was also at places where these cops would invade these parties if they've seen them. But at any rate, that gets back to the doctrine of Balaam and the Nicolaitans, you know, and the seed of Satan. This is where they could do it, where idolatry was, the church was there, God was moving, and there was believers. And he says, I know your works. They just didn't sit there. He says, you hold fast my name and have not denied my faith. They stood up for the name of Christ. And of course, we look at it back there. If we look in the original Greek, the name is Jesus, not Jesus as we know it today. And there is a reason why it became Jesus and not the original Jesus. And of course, then there's the Hebrew messianic title, Yeshua HaMashiach. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that his name was held fast by these, and they did not deny the faith, even when Antipas was martyred in that place. He was, and it says, who was slain among you. This is where Satan dwells, and Satan is spoken of dwelling among them because they had idol worship and other godless and immoral things going on there. And, of course, when you get into the doctrine of Balaam, this gets pretty personal, because this goes back to Balaam, who was actually trying to curse the Lord, and he actually wasn't able to, because of the Lord. And the Lord actually did speak to him and told him what Israel was. And eventually, you know, we get to the story of Balaam's ass, and how in the end that Balaam and Balak, who, you know, who was the one who wanted Balaam, who was a prophet at the time, to curse the children of Israel, mainly because they were all afraid of Israel coming out after knowing what happened in Egypt. And so they managed to invite the children of Israel over to a party. There happened to be idols there and food and drink. So when the children of Israel got there, they began eating, began drinking. Before they knew it, the women came out. And the women's whole purpose was to get them to commit fornication, because they couldn't beat him any other way. But Balaam told them that if you can get them and tempt them to sin against their God, then you can cause trouble for them. Well, Balaam ended up dying for what he did. But this is how the devil works, you know. You go to some of these places and the devil's there. And see, the devil will always use loose women. And of course, today, he'll use loose men too, because we've got it in any way you can do it. Culture in America, we are very hedonistic, immoral. Matter of fact, we are filthy. You know, and I'm not going to go into detail, but this is, if you can't see it, then maybe you need to take off those rose-colored glasses. But this is where the church was. And the church, you know, more than likely was not a big fancy building here, because they lived in an area that was immoral and there were other things going. Now, these other people would have had more inclined to have a place where their idols and everything were being held, where they'd have their parties. And so we have here, let me get to that point, because, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. The word fornication is pornuho. Kind of sounds like pornography, doesn't it? Yeah, well, maybe there's a relationship there. That's why we call it pornography today. It's fornication. This particular word means to act the harlot. That is, literally, the word literally means to indulge in unlawful lust of either sex. So this is not necessarily a man and a woman. This can be either sex. And figuratively, it is committing idolatry, like those who would, children of Israel did this. When they would serve the Lord God, they would go into the temple. Isaiah talks about this. We're studying Isaiah on our Battle Lines broadcast on Thursday. And I suggest you check it out. We're in part 23. I think we just did part 23 or 24 now. There'll probably be about 100 parts. By the time we're done, it'll take about a year to do. So, you know, when I talk about doing studies and intents, we do studies. So within this, the children of Israel would go into the temple, and of course they'd make their sacrifices and, you know, believe that God forgave them. Then they'd go right out and worship and actually sacrifice some of the same, and even do the same bread offerings, drink offerings and stuff to the Queen of Heaven and others, to other gods. That is spiritual idolatry, or harlotry rather. This is where Isaiah told him, he says, you keep saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is these. And for the Lord had said that, shall you come into my house, which is called after my name, and worship before me, and then go out and do these things and come back again? In other words, did God create the temple of the Lord just so you could go in, feel good in your repentance, go back out intending to do the same sin all over again? God is not mocked, for he knows whatsoever you reap or you sow, you're going to reap. And in America, we have that tendency to believe that. And in the New Testament, we believe that a lot of times. And we do have a leeway there when we sin. If we sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But if we ask him to forgive us knowingly that we're going to go back out, how many times do you think this is going to go on before God will let you reap what you're sowing? And so the church there, the group of believers, they held fast the name of the Lord even in the midst of martyrs, you know, Christian martyrs there. And this Antipas had been slain among them. They would have all known him. And he was slain by the same idolaters that they and the thing of it is, you know, the fact that they were there. Now see, this is the thing about this, is that in America we have hedonism and immoral things going on all the time. But we also happen to have churches that teach things and pastors that teach abominations, that openly say that it's okay to do such things when it's not. And then you have a culture in America where you have people that are very prominent Christians that are living lifestyles that are against the Word of God because they think it's okay. It's not okay. Now, see, this particular group of people were allowing this, not standing up for whatever reason. But they did hold fast his name. They didn't deny his faith. You know, we belong to Christ. You know, we're going to keep our faith. We believe that he died on the cross. But he says, I have a few things against you. You have there them that hold. To the doctrine of Balaam. You have thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Both of these things has to do with harlotry, fornication, idolatry. And if you're a Christian committing idolatry and the lust thereof, God does not put up with idolatry or the lust. And any preacher that tells you it's okay is a liar. Period. But see, we get a lot of this coming down from some of the highest seminaries, or cemeteries as I call them. Now you see, there is a lot of problems when we have a church that's infected with the flesh, the deeds thereof. Now see, we are flesh. And when we do fall, we can find repentance. But that repentance is predicated upon the fact that you're serious. God knows your heart. He knows that when you ask him to forgive you, whether or not you intend to go out, no, well, I'm just going to go do it anyway, but at least I'm forgiven now. You know, I want to get in my safety card here. Ask God to forgive me, because if I die before I make it back, I want to be forgiven. I don't want to go to hell. Well, see, why do we have the Lord? Just to keep us from hell? We have the Lord because he offered his sacrifice, his body, his soul, spirit, his blood on that cross. He literally died. The high priest literally, and his minions, plotted to kill the Lord. And they succeeded. But what they didn't know is he was going to come back from the dead. That's why in Revelation he says, I'm he who is dead and am alive and have the keys of death and hell. He is the Almighty, he says. So when you're in one of his churches, he's the one you need to serve. And Balaam is the one who tried to come against God, and he got destroyed and died for it. He managed to tempt Israel into sin, and they died for it. See, it's death. This stuff among you is death. Now, Satan will tell you it's so pleasurable, it's so wonderful, it's so great. Just indulge in it and you'll feel so good. And a lot of people, that even Christians that get caught up in this, well, it feels so good. I remember a major pastor who got caught up in homosexuality. And he had been tempted for years and years, and he wondered what it would be like. So he went and committed it. Then he got discovered. He lost his position where he was, which was pretty high up. But see, today now we have entire churches. Well, I got news for you. And these are churches that agree that same-sex marriage and same-sex attraction and same-sex intercourse is okay. Well, it's not okay. Not with Scripture, not with the Bible, not with the Lord. And if you don't like that, that's not my problem. You know, I mean, I didn't write the book. I'm just telling you what it said. But see, a lot of these who indulge in this from a Christian standpoint will make excuses. Well, when you stand before the Lord, there will be no excuse. Period. No way. So when we do look at this stuff, we need to understand that this church in the middle, with both of these specifically mentioned, Balaam and the Nicolaitans. Well, Nicolaitans were adherents of Nicolaity. or Nicholas. They disobeyed the command issued by the Gentile churches, to the Gentile churches, by the Apostolic Council, that they should refrain from eating of things sacrificed to idols. Now, of course, the big thing that it would have done is the public festivals in the Roman Empire had to do with eating stuff that was given to idols, that was dedicated to idols. And in addition, many times what you have here is food and drink, and the drink would have been wine. And with that, paganism, laxity of morals, immorality, fornication, love feasts, all of these went on. And I've written about this years and years ago. I don't even waste my time with America or the world when it comes to that. I give them warning. I'm not going to argue with you. If you want to do these things, if you want to go to a church that tells you it's okay, more power to you. Go ahead, if that's what you want. God's going to let you do what you want. But let me warn you here. Revelation 22, he that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Now, read Revelation 22. You will find that, and there's a few other examples along with the one I gave you. And then he says, for I come quickly, my reward is given to everyone according as his work shall be. If you're going to be wicked, he'll give you the reward for that. If you're going to be righteous, he'll give you the reward for that. If you're going to be holy, he's going to give you the reward for that. If you're going to be unholy, he will give you the reward for that. Even if you're in a church. The name of the church, the pastor, the people are not going to deliver you from the judgment of God. When you stand before God, you will be alone, and what you have done in this body will come out. And the only thing that will save you from the second death is the fact that you followed Christ and followed him obediently. And obediently, you need to get into and read John. And I recommend you read John 10, which everybody should know, all the way to John 18. And especially pay attention to John 17, where he said, I will pray that you would not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. Now see, the evil in the world will comfort you, will make you feel good, will tell you that it's all right. And they will even send you angels of light who appear as pastors and others in the church to tell you that it's all right, to comfort you in your sin. See, because in America, even to this day, we comfort each other in our hedonistic ways. We covered up saying that we're America, that we're free to do this, that we have rights. Well, in America, we have passed laws and you do have rights. But in the eyes of God, he holds man accountable for the deeds they do. And this is why Christ is coming down and talking to these people, because he doesn't want to judge them. He doesn't want them to stand before him. And he doesn't want any more among them who are tempted and fall away. See, this is the issue here. You may be strong enough, but there may be someone in this group that had given themselves over to do the same things, and now they're caught up in it. See, that's the problem. If you're going to stand for Christ, you need to stand for Christ. Period. Because within your group, there could be someone, well, it's okay to go down to this thing. There's nothing wrong with it. And you see others doing things, and you begin to think, hey, it's okay. So you begin doing them too, and you get caught up in it. Well, see, this is what the Lord does. And this is why when we talk about judgment, even with Israel, judgment is always, every time, even chastisement for the Lord for Christians, is always redemptive. He does it for a reason. He just doesn't do it to chastise you and be a mean God. He's not a mean God. He loves you enough to tell you. And his way of telling you is to bring chastisement into your life, tribulation into your life. In other words, as my dad used to tell me, I've said this before, when he would spank me when I did something wrong, this hurts me more than it does you. Well, no, it doesn't, Dad. Let me get the belt and I'll hit you with it. You know, but the point is, he didn't want to spank me, but he did it anyway to correct me. He raised me with morals. I was in the church, the Methodist church, but we still had morals. We had conscience. Dad, from the time I was real little, told me that God has given us a conscience, and that is God's way of helping you to understand right and wrong. Now, you can offend that conscience. It can become seared. It can become hardened, and you get to the point where you will not listen and cannot hear it because you've hardened your conscience. See, all these things are relevant to America today. And Christ is crying out, screaming to the churches. And if you won't listen, he will send tribulation. Why do you think America is so divided? Why do you think California continues every year to have some of the worst fires it's ever seen? Why do you think that you have liberals running the cities in California that believe in open borders? The streets are full of filth and homeless people with no answer. They have the highest taxes of pretty much any state in the union, and yet they continue. Schiff is from California. Pelosi is from California. These are liberals that are leading an immoral crusade against Trump, and they have done so from the beginning, when at the same token, their efforts have paid off to some degree because they've convinced some of the highest people in the media to believe them. The bottom line is, sin will always find you out, even in America. And in these churches where Christ is writing, they represent seven different types. And we've said before, seven different types of Christians you could get out of this. Seven different types of churches you could get out of this. But there's a lot more than just seven types, believe me. And there's more than seven types of Christians. And they also argue that these things are a different church for each age. Now, see, one of the things that we can classify definitely for our age is the Laodicean church is predominantly represented, but also the dead churches, and also the church like Pergamos, which happens to be next to idolatry and fornication. Another word for all that, hedonism. That pleasure-seeking, lust-fulfilling thing that we do. Well, we've passed laws, so it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. And for the people that do these things, even abortion, killing of innocent baby, this releases blood guilt and the innocent blood shed upon the land. Now, this is all biblical. I teach on this all the time. You want to know why we have so many murders? You want to know also in the Middle East why it's continuing to have war? That's because the ground is cursed from innocent blood being shed. This stuff exists. These things are real. This nation needs to repent. California needs to repent of what it's doing. Not be stubborn. That will bring you more judgment. When God begins to spank you, begins to send tribulation, begins to wake up a nation, you'd better listen, because if you refuse, you wind up in heavy judgment, which means he will use an army to come in, and they will kill and rape and pillage and destroy the land and utterly remove you. That's what he did with Israel. And he did it with his temple, he did it with his priests, and he did it with his prophets. They were there at the time that Judah fell. So if God did this to his own people, his own temple, his own priests, his own prophets who had forsaken him, what makes you think he's going to ignore America or any of the other nations? Now, make no mistake, Iran will be judged for what she does. She's not going to get away with it. Matter of fact, she continues to say that she's going to totally destroy Israel. She's not going to totally destroy Israel. There's no way they're going to. And they might take the land, they might take Jerusalem or part of it, but they're not going to destroy every Jew there. They're not going to destroy what God has created. Now, in the same token, Iran, on the other hand, would fail, and they would be terribly judged. And even the division we have in America is because of judgment. And it's not going anywhere until somebody repents. Now, in this division, though, there are some things that have gotten done. And that's what the left hates even more. But see, the whole bottom line, and why I give you a lot of these examples, is help you to understand how relevant these writings are. The biggest thing this represents is that, you know, proverbial lollipop, popsicle sweetness, desire, oh, how sweet it is, just go try it, type of mentality. That's how they got these people, and that's why the Lord's saying staying away from it. He says, repent, or else I'll come unto you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now see, you do not want him to fight against America with the sword of his mouth. When he comes again, what is he going? A two-edged sword is going. It comes out of his mouth. Is he literally going to have a sword? No, that's spiritual imagery. That's how he appears. That's how it appears in Revelation, to show you the relevancy and also to help you understand the interpretation. One of the things in the flesh when he was here, he says, my words are spirit and they are life. That life is true, but it also, they can be death. He has been given the mantle to judge the nations. He is over the church. He will hold all men accountable. The sword cuts both ways, life and death. And as I said earlier, Paul said there are those who believe in Yahshua, Jesus Christ, and to them, we are an aroma of life, speaking of him and the apostles. But to others who don't believe, we are an aroma of death. And we see that all the time around the world. We report on advocacy program for the persecuted church. Iran. There's too many Christians, too many Muslims becoming former Muslims and are coming to Christianity, so they crack down. The Fulani and Boko Haram killing Christians who said, you know, they're going to continue because of Christians. Hindus in India who have sworn to remove certain radical groups connected to the BJP party, which Modi happens to be connected to. He continues to say that there is no Christian persecution. That's because he doesn't look around and he denies it. And these radical groups have sworn to remove every Christian in India. In Pakistan, around the world, we see nations running scared because of people coming to the Lord. And see, this is the same thing that motivated the high priest. When the Lord raised someone from the dead, they said, this guy continues to do miracles, and if we let him go, everybody's going to follow him, and then Rome's going to come in, and they're going to destroy everything. Because they thought he was the political Messiah who would free them from the Romans and be able to have Israel back again as it once was. But that's not what his goal was. But that's what they thought it was. And from then on, they plotted to kill him. See, these things are relevant. He says, he that has an ear, and that's what you have to have. You have to have an ear to hear. Some people, everybody seems to have an ear. But many people don't listen with them. Many people, when they begin to listen, the only thing they want to do is find a way to argue. I want to make my point. I want to be heard. I don't care what you say. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, I'll give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. Well, there's going to be a lot of naming. We'll be known even as we are known here, Paul says, but the bottom line of it is it will be a different time, different period. Let him hear. That's what America has a hard time listening to. Many of them can't hear because they've shut off God a long time ago, even in the churches, even in the seminaries. Oh, yes, they have a religion. Oh, yes, they know the Hebrew, the Greek, and all the ancient languages, but they don't know the Lord. The Apostle Paul, who would have known the ancient languages, the high priest, the Sanhedrin, all of whom would have known the scriptures and the original writings. Yet, even their knowledge of the original writings didn't reveal the Messiah to him. Paul didn't know that he was Messiah till he was knocked off his so-called high horse, as I call it, on his way to Damascus. Just because you have a degree, you're a doctor of theology, and you know every kind of language, doesn't mean you're going to know the Lord of the Bible. That comes from spiritual discernment. And we have a lot of examples of why you need to pay attention to who you're listening to, because it's spiritual discernment. Repent or else. Have ears to hear. You repent, because he's coming quickly. And he will fight against them with the sword of his mouth. He doesn't have to grab you. He speaks the word. You don't mess with him. You're not going to come up on judgment day and say this, 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 and that, and say, or else. You ain't going to say nothing. Even the devil's going to be a wretched creature. Now, I described him in the last couple of episodes that we did on Isaiah. And you can listen to those on Spreaker, on Blog Talk, any number of places, and on our websites. We keep them all there. See, that's the issue here. The devil ain't going to be anything like you would recognize, neither will the beast. All those who serve him will be as nothing. You have to understand this is a spiritual battle. But see, if you overcome, you repent, you have ears to hear, you do what he says. The hidden manna and a white stone. You know, there's a lot of imagery of eating and food. The wedding supper of the Lamb. The Lord himself said when he was drinking wine with his apostles before he went to the cross, we call it the Last Supper, he says, I will no more drink of this until I drink it anew with you in my kingdom. So he's going to have a kingdom here. And he's going to drink wine. And that's a whole other teaching. And it's not going to be anything like what you would currently understand things to be. But you will have a new name, and you'll eat of the hidden manna. See, the hidden manna is hidden to everybody except for those who know the Lord. we know he's the bread of life. He's given us that imagery. God fed the children of Israel with manna from heaven. This is a type going way back to the Lord's provision. And the children of Israel ate that manna, and they stayed alive. The hidden manna will allow you to stay alive forever. It will fill your soul. White, when we deal with things in the spirit and things regarding the children of Israel, has to do with perfection, holiness. Pergamos, that's what we've been talking about today. Pergamos. Father, we thank you for your word today. Bless your people when they hear it, wherever they hear it. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the streaming, teaching, receiving, and understanding of this word today. In Jesus' name. Until next time, shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.